Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
With that familiar theme song, we're reminded it's time once again for the Harvest Time Gospel Broadcast. This is a daily broadcast with special emphasis on missions and world evangelization under the direction of Dr. Stennett Ballew of Resaca, Georgia. And now, here is Brother Ballew and today's broadcast.
Thank you, and greetings, radio friends. What a joy and privilege it is to come to your place of listening and share together with you another Harvest Time broadcast. I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study His precious Word together. I trust that if it's at all possible, you'll take the time out, get your Bible, and follow along with us as we open the Word of God together today. We're turning in our Bible again, the book of 1 John, chapter number 1, and I'm reading verse number 8, 9, and 10. Hear the Word of God said, "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And again, I want to just mention the sin in verse number 8. If we say that we have no sin, this speaks of our nature, our being. And then in verse number 10, if we say that we have not sinned, this speaks of the sins of our behavior. You see, we're not only sinners by behavior, we're sinners by birth. Our very human nature is sin. Our body is corrupt. The flesh is wicked in the eyes of a thrice holy God. But regardless, the sin, whether it be our nature or our behavior, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We're dealing with a subject dealing with our sins. And we're looking in the Word of God and finding what the believer is to do when he sins after he is saved by the grace of God. I say again, the only thing that a sinner can do is come to the Lord Jesus Christ, be saved by the grace of God, and that will take care of all of the sin of his past. You see, the moment that God saves a sinner in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, there is redemption. That deals with a sinner's purchase. In the blood of Christ, there is remission. That deals with a sinner's past. In the blood of Christ, there is reconciliation. That deals with the sinner's peace. And in the blood of Christ, there is recognition. That deals with the prayer life. Let me take just a moment and review where we were at on yesterday and then move on in our study of the Word of God today. I described on yesterday the categories of sins that a believer might commit. And we looked at them in the Word of God. And let me just mention them briefly. We see in the Word of God there is the word sin. And that word basically means to miss the mark or to come short. And you've got a good description of that in Romans 3:23. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all missed the mark on God's standard of righteousness. We have failed. We've come short of the glory of God. Then there's the word iniquity, which basically means a violation of God's holy law. And then there's the word transgression, which means to step over without regard to God's revealed will. God says, "Don't do this," then you go ahead and do it. That is transgression. And then there's the word wickedness, which includes a vicious disposition with evil deeds. And there is a possibility that each of us commit those sins even after we're saved. And so we look then at the Word of God to understand what sin means. And I pointed out to you four definitions from the New Testament. First of all, in 1 John chapter 3, Verse number 4 we learn, for sin is the transgression of the law. God simply said, thou shalt not, and you go ahead and do it anyway. Then you commit a transgression against God. Then the Bible said, 1 John 5:17, for all unrighteousness is sin. If it's right, it's right. If it's wrong, it's wrong. If it's right, do it. If it's not right, then do not do it, because it's sin for you to do so. Then we learn in Romans chapter number 14, verse number 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Let me just take a moment and elaborate upon that verse. It is amazing what this Bible says about faith. For example, the Bible said in the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, for without faith it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And the Bible said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So it's a wicked sin for you and I not to believe God. And then the Bible said in James chapter 4, verse number 17, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You see, it's not what I think is sin, and it's not what you think is sin. It's not even what some church leader says is sin that really matters, but it's what the Bible says. So the Bible gives us these four basic definitions of sin. Sin is a transgression of the law. All unrighteousness is sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's the explanation of the believer's sin. Now we move to the second thought of our study, and we're going to look at the effect of the believer's sin. What happens in the relationship of the believer when he sins against God? Does he lose his salvation? No. Does he lose his standing? No. Let me just say this. There are those who are of the Arminian doctrine. They either add to grace to produce salvation, or they add the grace to preserve salvation. But it's amazing, when they lose their salvation, they never require them to be saved again. I remember some years ago, one of the great leaders in their movement that was well known across the country fell into wicked sin. And they talked about restoring him, but they never did talk about him being saved again the second time. Of course, there is no such thing, but it just proves the error of their doctrine. Our sinlessness did not produce our salvation, so our sinfulness will not destroy and do away with our salvation. And again, friend, I'm not speaking of a license to sin, but I'm simply saying to you that sin in the life of the believer does not destroy our salvation. It does not destroy our relationship that we have with God in the manner of a father-son relationship. What does it do? Listen to me carefully. Sin in the life of a believer destroys our fellowship, but not our sonship. I had the wonderful privilege of growing up in a Christian home with a precious father and a precious mother. Now, my father and I did not always have fellowship, but we always had relationship as far as father-son is concerned. I love my daddy. I was close to my daddy, and I still hold precious memories of my daddy and hold him precious to my heart. But he's in heaven now. But friend, listen, when I did wrong, it never did destroy my sonship, but it sure did hurt our fellowship until I got over the punishment that my daddy gave me. And that's the way it is in the life of a believer. Sin does not destroy our sonship. It destroys our fellowship. You see, our sonship is based upon our birth. Our fellowship is based upon our behavior. Now, what are you saying, preacher? Listen to me. I am a Christian by birth. I am not saved by behavior. I am saved by birth. Jesus said to Nicodemus, and of course in the Word of God, he says it to all of us, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And he said again in John 3:7, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Our sonship is based upon a birth, but our fellowship is based upon our behavior, how we live, and whether it pleases God and honors God or not, will determine our fellowship. But our sonship is based upon our birth. We've been born again into the family of God. Then listen to this. Our sonship is based upon His finished work. Now listen to me. I am not saved by anything I've ever done, that I am doing, or that I shall ever do. I am saved because of the finished work of Christ at Calvary, in His death, then His burial, and then His resurrection. I am complete in Him, and you cannot add to completeness. I am saved because of what He did, and not because of what I have done. My sonship is based upon His finished work. My fellowship is based upon my faithful walk. If I walk with God faithfully, we enjoy great fellowship together. But if I allow sin in my life and I'm disobedient to the will of God and the Word of God, then my fellowship is not what it ought to be. But my sonship is based upon His finished work. My fellowship is based upon my faithful walk. And then listen to this. Our sonship is based upon Christ's righteousness. But our fellowship is based upon our own righteousness. As far as the Son of God, being sons of God, is concerned, we who are saved are sons of God by the imputed righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said in Titus chapter 3, verse number 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So what is the effect of sin in the life of the believer? It destroys our fellowship, but not our sonship. Our sonship is based upon our birth. Our fellowship is based upon our behavior. Our sonship is based upon His finished work. Our fellowship is based upon our faithful walk. Our sonship is based upon Christ's righteousness, but our fellowship is based upon our righteousness. So sin destroys fellowship, not sonship. Father, take the word, use it to your glory. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Behold, the fields are white, it's harvest time.
Well, I trust you enjoy the broadcast today. How I praise the Lord for this open door, this heaven-bought privilege that our Lord allows us day after day together by the radio and study His Word together. Let me encourage you that you pray for the broadcast, that the Lord would bless it and use it to the glory and honor of the Lord Jesus Christ. Also, I want to encourage you that you write to us and share with us in the financial burden of the radio ministry. We have a few churches and individuals that support us on a monthly basis, but we need to hear from a number of you. Would you pray for us? And then as the Lord directs your heart, sit down and write to us and share with us in the financial burden. Simply address that letter to Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. That's Harvest Time, 179 Promised Land Drive, Resaca, Georgia, 30735. And be sure to join us each weekday, Monday through Friday, at this same time. God bless you until the next broadcast.
Amen.